Last week we talked about the life of Joseph and the importance of Joseph living a life trusting and obeying what God asked him to do. Today I want to talk to you about Mary. So if you have your copy of the scriptures, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 1, we're going to read from there in just a moment. You know, I've always, I don't know about you, but I always have been intrigued by the song, Mary, Did You Know? It was written by a comedian, you know, Mark Lowry. He wrote the lyrics to this. He didn't write the music, but he wrote the lyrics to this. And every time I hear it, I walk through that process of asking some questions. So I want to read for you guys the words to the song. Wish I could sing it, but I can't. And you wouldn't want me to. But this is what it says. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will someday deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Man, what an experience for Mary. We're going to talk about her today and look at her life and her faith and the significance of that as we walk this journey together. It's a simple message. You know, people try to make it complex, but it really is very simple. In what has happened. In verse 26 of chapter 1, that's where we're going to start today. Chapter 1 of Luke, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We talked last week when we were talking about the life of Joseph, why that was so significant that this child, and Matthew follows it up, he goes through the generations to bring us to Joseph. Because God had given a promise to David that he would have a descendant on the throne forever. And Jesus fulfills that. The angel came to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, that means the angel was coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary, she had a few questions. Do you imagine? The question she had was, "How will this be, since I am a virgin? How is it going to happen? I mean, people throughout the years have been having children. But they've been having children because their father and their mother got together, had a great time for a few minutes. And lo and behold, there was a child 9 months later. But can you imagine being Mary and thinking to yourself, how in the world is this going to happen? Now, some people have made Mary out to be a disbelieving person, but I don't think she was disbelieving. I think she was just saying, okay, how is this going to happen? I've accepted the fact that I'm going to be the mother of Jesus, but how is it going to happen? To which the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." Now, in Mary asking this question, she was saying, it hasn't ever happened before like this. But the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her, and the child that was going to be born to her was divine seed, divine DNA. Then he said this in verse 36, "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called infertile is now in her sixth month." Now, why is that true? "For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold the Lord's bondservant.'" Here I am, Lord. So what she said, "May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's talk about a couple of things that are here in this passage. The first one is that Mary based her faith on the word that God had given to her. That's really the importance of having faith, because throughout the Bible, we have been taught Noah had faith because God had given him a word. We're taught that other individuals had faith in God because they had received a word from him. Remember when Abraham got his word from God? He was promised that he was going to be the father of a great nation. And he believed. That's why it says that he was made right with God because he believed what God had said to him. Here, Mary is at a place where, just think of this. Mary, you have found favor with God. Do you know when God invites us into a relationship with Him? It's because of His favor in our life. You and I are followers of Christ. You and I are living today because we found favor with God. Mary found favor with God as the angel had declared to her. She also was one who was willing to believe, even though she did not fully understand. Notice the question she asked, how will this be? She didn't fully understand all that was going to take place, but she had found favor with God. That made her a woman of faith. She was a person who believed what God said. And as a response to that, she had faith. Many of you know a few months ago we moved out to Crum. And when our daughter had come to us and said, well, we feel like that God is leading us to move, and she shared with us that we were a part of that process, that we were going to be with them. And then she told us about the house, and I'm going to be honest with you. She shared her testimony several weeks ago, but I thought to myself, there's no way we can do that. There's no way that that can happen. I thought, I don't have enough resource for that to happen. We don't have the ability to move into there. But Reagan said something that immediately when she spoke it, it took me back several years before when God had called us to Louisville. She said this. She said, I don't know if God is going to give us this place. I'm going to trust Him and I'm going to believe Him. But I'm not going to look at anything else. I remember sitting in my chair thinking to myself, the Holy Spirit, I believe at that moment, spoke to me and said, you're going to get the house. It wasn't because I believed. It was because she had gotten a word from God. And she was willing to follow that through to the very end and see what God had in store. And I remember thinking to myself, that is how we respond to the Word of God to us. We had done it, Tamara and I had done it, when we moved from Steamboat Springs, Colorado, without a paycheck, without a job, with really only a few things that we ended up putting in storage. We came based upon a word that God had given to us. If you have never had that experience in your life, I'm going to invite you to ask God to lead you and to guide you, to give you His word for you or for your family or for someone else. There is power in that word. What God says is going to happen. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard to understand. It's going to be something that we don't know exactly how it's going to flesh its way out. But God has already prepared the end. God sees it. We don't. But God sees the end. God knows what He has planned and what He has purposed, and He is looking to us as He gives us this revelation that we would believe Him, His word to us. It may come through a different avenue, but it's ultimately what we could look at as a word from God. Mary had that. In these moments, she had confidence. You know, they tell us that Mary was probably a teenager. I don't know about you, but I think to myself, man, you need to get somebody much more mature than a teenager. But the reality is, most of us would come up with reasons why we can't do it. The older we get, we come up with those reasons. We rationalize this word from God. Mary was pure and confident in her reality that God had given her this message. And that, I believe, was the reason why God chose Mary. He knew that she would be a person of faith, and she demonstrated that by her life. So let me ask you, is there a time in your life, maybe a time in the past, that God promised you something? Have you given up on that? God may have given you the word to prepare you, to get you ready for what He was going to do. And that's why He gave you this word, to put your faith and your trust in Him because of what He has said. Mary, she put her faith in God because of what He had said was going to happen. But there's a second thing in this journey of faith that I think is very important, and that is Mary's faith was strengthened by her relationships. Mary's faith was strengthened by her relationships. You know, she had already confessed before others, before herself, before God, that nothing was impossible with Him. But you know she had to have moments where she wondered, where she thought to herself, is this really what you have for me? Is this your plan? And when we are walking a journey of faith, it is so important to have people alongside us who are going to point us to what God is saying to us. Not individuals who say, oh, don't worry about it, it's no big deal, but those who would encourage us. And Elizabeth was one of those. It says in verse 40, it says, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Mary entered the house, greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a simple and clear message, but man, is it complicated. It's complicated because is the Holy Spirit really here, or is this something that's going on, something weird? But notice how Elizabeth responded. She cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Now, you think of Elizabeth in these moments. Wouldn't it be easy for Elizabeth to talk about, look what God has done for me. He has given me a child. Doesn't say she talked about that. She was focused on building up Mary, strengthening her. You know what? We need people like that in our faith journey. We need people that are going to lift us up, that are not going to laugh at us when we tell them what we feel like God has told us to do. We need somebody who is going to help us live out that faith journey in a way that's pleasing and honoring to Him. And for Mary, it was Elizabeth who was that person who was saying to her, don't worry about all this other stuff that's going on or the things that are being said. Remember what God has said to you. Remember how God has worked in your life. In my journeys of faith, that has been my wife. She has been the one who has stood with me. She has been the one who has encouraged me. She has been the one who has demonstrated her faith and her confidence in what God is going to do. By her actions, by her words. I am so richly blessed by that in my life. I pray that you would find a person like that. Somebody that will make you more like Christ. Someone that will speak into you the Word of God, will remind you of the Word of God, How many times do we need to be reminded? Well, I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded a whole lot of times. Because my analytical mind can start running rampant and start thinking, oh, well, this is ridiculous. I should not believe this. But you need somebody in your life. That's the way we grow in our faith. We have people in our life that encourage us and that help us look at the main thing, the word that God has given to us. Mary, from the moment that she came into Elizabeth's house, she was encouraged. She was strengthened. She was made more confident. She was treated like she is worthy of the faith that she has given. So one of the most important things that you and I can do is not only just hear that word from God, but have tangible people in our life, people that we can reach out and touch, people that we can sit down and we can talk with, people that will encourage us in what God has given us and will lead us toward that. I say to couples that come and they have premarital counseling, I say to them, it's so important the friendships that you develop in your marriage. Is that friend going to lead you away from your spouse or lead you to your spouse? Is that going to be a person who is focused on your relationship with your spouse, not just focused on their relationship with you, but your relationship with your spouse? Are there people in your life who speak the word of God into you, through you? Are there people in your life that encourage you to walk humbly before the Lord, to live out and to obey what God has said to you? Mary had that person in Elizabeth. You and I can have it in our spouse. We can have it in somebody else. But God wants to encourage us to trust Him, to follow Him, to live for Him. The last thing that Mary did here was similar to what we talked about when we talked about Joseph. She exemplified her faith in God. She did not just hold it in, she expressed it. Well, she expressed it in what many call the Magnificat, her song that was lifted up before the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. I want to read this section here, and I want you to think about how was Mary speaking her confidence in what God could do and accomplish. You remember the angel said to her, nothing is impossible with God. He gave her an illustration, the life of Elizabeth, an older woman who had conceived, and she had not had a child until this moment when she was going to have John. So this is what Mary said. Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondservant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is to generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. And he sent the rich away empty-handed. He has given help to his servant in remembrance of his mercy, just as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. That's what Mary said in response to all of these things that were happening, the dreams that Joseph was having, the experience that she had with an angel of God, the encounter that she had with Elizabeth, and how Elizabeth welcomed her, encouraged her, spoke well of what God was doing in her life. Mary responded to that, and she responded to it as an act of faith, of confidence, that God was going to do exactly what he promised me. You know, when you think here where it says, just as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever, that had happened somewhere around 2,000 years ago. But what was Mary doing? She was still holding on with confidence that what God had said to Abraham is going to be fulfilled. She was still expressing her faith and her confidence in what God is doing. You know, when you and I are on a journey of faith, it is so important that we persevere until God says yes or no. That was the thing I heard in Reagan's response to us, was that she was going to see this thing through. Until God had said no or yes, she was going to be true to what God had told her. Mary, I believe, did the same thing. She stayed true to the faith that God had given her, and that the words that were spoken to her, she stayed true to that. You and I must do the same thing. As God speaks to us, as God gives us direction, as God asks us to serve him in a way that maybe everybody else, maybe even your family, doesn't understand, doesn't comprehend. You know, Mary's parents, Joseph's parents, probably thought, what in the world has happened? But who had a purpose? God did. And just like God had a purpose for Mary and Joseph in their lives that we have spoke about year after year after year. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for me. God has an agenda. He has a plan. He has something that He wants to accomplish. And you are the person to do it. You are the individual that He has chosen by His grace, not because you're some great person or you're some great athlete or you're some great mathematician or whatever you could say. He's chosen you by His grace. He didn't go out and look for a woman that had plenty of money and could do whatever she wanted to do. He went to one that was humble. Because in her humility, she could exercise her faith so that years down the road, people would talk about her faith. People would talk about her work of grace and how God accomplished His plan and His purpose through her. God may be preparing you for that moment. The question is, will you exercise your faith in a way that is God-honoring? Let's pray together.